quite a circle, I don't, not too soon. All right. If you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 4. That's going to be the verse that I give to you that we're going to start with. Let me pray. Father in heaven, I do pray for the direction of your Spirit. I pray, dear Father, that this message, though I am the one delivering it, I pray, dear Father, that indeed it will be your work through the scriptures and through the thoughts that are presented. God, have your will and your way, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, what I'm going to be talking about is the building of a Christian character. Building a Christian character. You know, character is such an important matter. And what I find is that there are some actions that a person may do, and because they are either unusual or out of the ordinary, that would be unusual, you notice it. And then also, I find that there are some lack of proper actions, lack of proper response within a situation, and you realize, wow, that's poor character. And you'll understand what I mean by character as we go through this. We're starting to somewhat lay a foundation on why character is so important. But Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This particular character trait is that of compassion and consideration for others. And he talks about that when he says, be kind one to another. Character is something that an individual demonstrates by how they live, things they say, things they do. It demonstrates it, but it's to the benefit of others. Okay? It isn't, the purpose isn't just to demonstrate it so people can look at him and say, wow, there's a guy that's got real character, you know? No, it benefits other people. Now, I actually have a very current, real life illustration of this consideration. At our house, we've had water damage. There's a little closet. When you come in our front door to the right, there's a little closet. And as it turns out, I noticed some water on the inside in the bottom corner. And so I began to explore. And what I found out, there's only four studs and they're not 16 inch a piece apart, okay? The whole width of that particular wall might only be 45 inches. And so it's not big. But the studs were all rotted. The plate that they were attached to on cement was rotted. As a matter of fact, when I tore into it, underneath the vinyl siding that had plank boards, you know, not a piece of plywood like now, just plank boards. And if there were five plank boards, because they were big ones, if there were five, three of them were rotted. There wasn't anything under the vinyl. And so we had a man that some of you know, quite a few of you probably do, Mike Falk. He came down and rebuilt that. And then John Mark, Mike got him to come down because there was water damage around an upstairs window. Had to tear the siding off. The wafer board was all rotted up. had take that out, had to put some more bracing in that whole area. John Mark worked from ladders all day yesterday. Now, the illustration is John Mark, okay? For this reason, we're talking about consideration, feel for the needs of others. And we went to Home Depot to get a sheet of wafer board. And he got the wafer board. And then as he was walking back, a guy was getting some kind of underlayment, okay? And he had two sheets, and the guy took the one back. And so John Mark thought, oh, you want the other one back. So he went to it and said, you want this one also? And the guy said, no, we're getting that one. And so consideration. And then after lunch, we had to go back to Home Depot because they needed some tape. What kind of tape is it?
Tyvek
tape. Okay. So he moves like I used to. And we went in there and boom, he was gone. And I went to the aisle, he went up and I couldn't see him. Okay. And he got the tape. He was coming back and he saw a guy putting sheetrock on a cart. So he stopped and he gave him a hand to put the sheetrock on the cart. All right. And then he came back and, you know, we got the Tyvek tape. Now that's an illustration of consideration for others. He saw people that had a need and he helped them with that need. And James says, faith without works is dead. You see, feelings put into action faith that we have. In Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Hebrews 10, 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, I cannot read that verse and that word provoke without thinking of my father. And you may have heard this illustration before. And that is, he would use the word provoke. But the way I remember him using it was, I did something I shouldn't have done. And so he said to me, Roger, you provoke me. Yeah, and that's my memory of the word provoke. And it's not used that way here, okay? In that sense, provoking someone is really making some kind of an unsettling action or feeling, you know. No, here, let us consider one another to prod unto love and good works. That's how provoke is. It creates an action. Okay, in this case, it's to prod them. Of course, when provoking my dad, I was creating an action. Okay, but it wasn't a good one. Okay, and so let us consider one another. This is things that are, again, that are done for others. So when we're building a Christian character, it is for others. Look now also at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because good character has consistency, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I want to look at verse 58. What we need is consistency. Therefore, my beloved brethren, 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Steadfast, unmovable, always going overboard, doing more than what is necessary, abounding. And consistency in Christian living is so important. You've heard me say many a time that on a scale of 1 to 10, you would be better to live at a consistent 4 or 5 than it would be to be a 4 this week, and then next week you're gonna right. really excel and you're gonna be a number 8. Oh, wow, you know, you've got it together and everybody's pleased. But then the week after that, you're back to a 6. And bang, you know, bouncing all over the place. Better to be a consistent lower number, but be consistent.
Come on.
And it's with that kind of living that what's going to happen, God is going to be able to take you from a consistent 5 to a consistent 6. And then he's going to take you to a consistent 7. What are we talking about? We're talking about Christian growth. You don't have biblical Christian growth if you're 1 week this way and another week the next way. And consistency. That is good character. Good Christian character. You see, these character traits can be found in unsaved people's lives. They ought to be found in our Christian lives, because when it comes to having compassion or consideration, you see, we have that motivation by the Spirit of God within us. And just as James says Paul says here in verse 58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, in the work of the Lord. In the work of the Lord. You say, well, I don't have any particular task that I do in the church. Well, we can remedy that. Okay. but it's not just a task in the church that is identified here as Christian work. Your very life and living is a testimony for Jesus Christ. And so consistency, very important. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I think I mentioned before, I've got a new Bible. And boy, these pages must be thinner than usual, because, you know, I'm looking back through and, man, I take a section of pages and turn it and I'm at the back of it already. Anyway, James chapter 1, which you're babbling, Roger. James chapter 1, verse 6. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. I love the ocean. We used to go to the ocean when we lived down in state Pennsylvania. You could be there in about 4 hours, and so it was neat to go there. to see the waves, okay? You see, not the ones that are coming in and rolling and making the white, you know, but out. You see a wave go up and then it goes way down and then it's gone. Don't be like that, you see? Don't be like a wave of the sea that's driven with the wind. Don't be like that. Don't be driven by the wind of the circumstances of your life. Be consistent, okay? Be steadfast. Just stick to what is right, regardless of what the winds of life experiences bring you. And then verse 7, he goes on, he says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. I don't understand why my God doesn't answer my prayers. Consistency. You don't often think about that when it comes to matter of prayer. But you're praying. You need to have consistency. Let not that man who's going to be driven like the wind. You know, wind of circumstances is going to drive his life. One day he's on, one day he's off. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. I mean, why? What's the problem here? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You see, we don't want to think of ourselves as being a double-minded person. But if we're not consistent and of a single mind for the Lord, That's part of the problem of our life. I don't understand. You know, some people, it's very obvious. They just can't get it together. You look at them and they just can't get it together. Because they, it's a character matter. Okay? It's a character matter. And this consistency is important. So avoid being wishy-washy. Now, let's consider another thing here, and that has to do, we're going to go to Luke chapter 14. I'll let you get there. Get to Luke, and I'll get there. Luke chapter 14. I'll give you the verse when I'm ready to. If I give it to you too soon, then you'll hurry go read that. And you'll miss the important things I have to say leading up to it. Dependability. That's what this character trait is. Dependability. Being reliable. Trustworthy. Now, this is not guaranteed to be easy, but it is best to be dependable. And you've met people, you've been around people, and I've heard statements made of people already that, you know, well, if you can't depend on him, okay? You give him something to do, and I wonder, do you know, has Henry done that thing yet? Nah, you can't depend on him. You've heard that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And that's a character issue. That person does not have good character. Now, they may have other good character traits, okay? I'm not saying because you don't have one, you don't have any. They may have other, but the thing is, if we're going to have balance in life, we need to have good character in all areas of it. And so, in verse 27, Luke 14, verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Being reliable and trustworthy and dependable. Can Jesus count on us to bear our cross? Can Jesus count on us to bear the situations in life that come along? Wow, you know, you run into a problem, you run into a situation that is not pleasant and we'd rather not have it. You know, God might have left that come for you to show him that you are willing to bear that cross.
Amen.
Nobody likes problems. I've not met anybody yet who says, oh, wow, yesterday I had a real problem. I was so happy. That's not the case. But whosoever doth not bear his cross. And you see, then we want to get over religious. So we look at a verse like this, whosoever does not bear his cross, and we think of Jesus bearing his cross. Well, we know we're not going to bear an actual wooden cross. But we think, you know, what religious experience is it that I need to bear? Hey, forget the religion part. Okay, just bearing your cross, bearing your experiences in life, that is religious. And that is what makes us to experience a spiritual thing. Everybody's looking to have a spiritual experience. Just do right. Just live right. Just be dependable. And that is going to be a really spiritual matter. He says it here, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me. You want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? You've got to do that. You see what it says there in verse 27? And come after me cannot be my disciple. You want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Then you're going to have to be dependable. You're going to have to, whatever those problems and situations in life that we'd rather not have, they're there. So a good friend of mine, a great preacher, missions director, John O'Malley. I remember his response to a lot of the kind of situations that would come along. He'd just say, deal with it. Okay. He was preaching along about something, and I think he was reading, you know, the congregation, and so he'd just say, look, just deal with it.
That's good.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah.
I mean, things come along and things happen. You just have to deal with it. We want to get super spiritual. Well, I'm going to pray and ask God to take this away. More times than not, God doesn't take things away. He gives you the grace to bear it. Oh, yeah. Whosoever does not bear his cross. You see, he gives grace to bear it.
Amen.
Then you get on the victory side of bearing it. Now, that's where we want to be. But to get on the victory side and rejoice in the results and the outcome, you've got to go through bearing the cross. Now listen, this is not easy. This is the sort of thing, it's easier for me to preach it. This is Sunday school, I'm supposed to be teaching it, okay? This is easier for me to say than it is for me to live it. You know, there's an advantage to my wife not being here and being at home. Because depending on what it is, she knows me. She lives with me. So when I say it's easier to say it than it is to live it, she knows that that's true for Roger Hain. And so when I'm saying this to you, I'm not saying it as if, you know, get with the game, guys, you know. No, I understand. But Jesus said it. Dependability is so important. Being reliable, trustworthy. And this is not guaranteed to be easy, but it is best to be dependable. You like people to be dependable, don't you? Somebody tells you they're going to do something, and then you wonder if it's going to happen or not. And so that's what we need to be to others. And doing what is needed, doing what is right. And then another one has to do with determination. If you'll look at, we're still in Luke. We're going to go to chapter 9. Determination. This goes along with consistency. A lot of these, one will blend into another. And depending on how you would approach it, it might almost seem like a duplicate, but each has its own, it's like a diamond, you know? One diamond, one stone, but you look in at all them different facets. And that's what this is, the facets of building a Christian character. Determination. Purposing to not quit. I know some people through the years that they would be quick to volunteer for something. And they had the skill to do it. Okay? But you knew, according to what it is they volunteered for, you knew that within 6 weeks or 3 months, they were going to come and say, Pastor, I think maybe you ought to get somebody else for that. This is sweet. Let somebody else have the blessing. they felt so good saying it that way. You can have it, okay? You go through another year and project comes up that was of interest or within their ability skills. And she it was a lady in the case I'm thinking of. She'd come and she would volunteer. And I go, oh, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. And you wondered how long. Okay, because you knew it wasn't going to last. Now listen to me. I've seen that in every church. I've seen that in every church.
Uh-oh.
Now, fortunately, I can't remember the individual that I saw it in this church. I honestly can't, but I know I've seen it. Because I thought to myself, wow, that's just like, and then the name of the person that I illustrated earlier. It's not uncommon. But it's not good character when a person is not determined and dependable. Now, there are times when I talk to someone, right now I'm having to look down and see Kyle there. I remember when I asked Tiffany, I felt she would do good in teaching Sunday school. And when Ashley went downstairs to be with Neil so that he was not alone with the girls in the class, and so she went down there. We needed a teacher there, and I felt Tiffany would be good. But Tiffany had not taught Sunday school. And so part of my asking her to do that was, look, you give it a good try. I said, probably going to be about 3 months. And I don't remember exactly what I said, but this is the type of thing I say to people. Do it for 3 months. And if at the end of that, you feel that this isn't for you, you feel that this, it's just not working, then you let me know. Because I don't want somebody doing something like in the Sunday school that they're not satisfied with. It isn't going to be good for the class. It's not good for the person. Because now this thing becomes a real chore to teach. And so now she's still teaching. Okay. And she does a good job teaching. Okay. And we've observed her Christian growth. Okay, we used to sit back there in that row where the Kunzes sit. We'd sit there, and then at that time Tiffany didn't know Kyle, and she would sit there, and we've just seen growth from when we first started coming here to church, and she was here. And so, there needs to be a determination, purposing not to quit. And that's in actions, in attitude, and we need to be determined that we're going to do it. Now, listen, let me say this. Tiffany continued on teaching. There are circumstances that come in to a servant's life that change things in their life, and therefore performing that particular kind of service, okay? Because I illustrated with Tiffany. Now, if something were to come up, then Tiffany felt that she wasn't able to rightly teach the class, and she'd say, I need to be relieved of that. I don't want anybody thinking, oh, she wasn't determined to serve. No, there are things that come along in your life that can change commitments you've made, can change determinations that you've had, and therefore you need to adjust your life to those circumstances, okay? But you continue in whatever you're doing to be determined. You continue to be dependable. It just does not involve that particular thing anymore because of the changes that have come into your life. Got that? We need to try and one thing, give each other a little slack, okay? We can be awful hard on each other, you know? Why do you give that up? I don't understand why he had to give that up. The guy did it for 12 years. you think, you know, and something came along that caused him to need to stop doing that. And so life, you know, living life isn't the easiest thing. And now we got right here in this pew behind Tim and John Mark, we've got those three young fellas sitting. Okay? They're at the beginning stage of life. You know, they were in a stage of life, okay? And it was called childhood, and they were in the home. And then we have a term that we use called adolescence, okay? That's not in the Bible. But they got into that and transitional period, okay? Transitioning from childhood to adulthood. And I look, I'm looking at Luke, and he's looking at me there, and he's transitioning to adulthood. In one sense, he has arrived at being a young adult because he's no longer a kid, okay? And all of the good fun things about being a kid, he's learning that things are different now, okay? But so there's a sense in which he is an adult now. But then you look back, there's Jim Wilcox. He's an adult too. Now, if you're gonna judge the adulthood of Luke by the adulthood of Jim Wilcox, that's not fair. It's just not right, okay? Because Jim has had so many years of experience, years of learning and doing. Luke is going to have that. I won't be here when he gets to that point. I'm going to be in heaven, okay? But like 15 years from now, you know, I'd be sure that I'd die in my illustration. 15 years from now. How old are you, Luke?
17.
He's 17. Add 15 to that. What is the number? 32. All right. He's going to be 32. Who else is 32? Who's in the 30s? Shane is. What's his name here? Stephen is. Kyle is. Nate is. Okay. I have trouble keeping all these names together. You've noticed that. See, now that's where Luke's going to be. And he's married. He's got a wife. Nate, he's got a son, Taryn. We all know Taryn. Hey, you properly named him. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Taryn. Terror. Okay.
Yeah.
Poor boy. He is just an individual waiting to be harassed. He was created to give a hard time. Now, Mrs. Hayne, if you look at her, she's got an oh. You'll be okay. It's part of making him turn him into a man, you know? And anyway, where was I? Luke is going to become. And so all of us in our Christian life, it's a growing experience, and we become it. And I got to stop this. I didn't realize what time it was. Class is over. Father, thank you for your love and grace. Help us to learn how to have a good character for you. Amen.